Welcome to another AP Lit podcast. I'm Natalie.
I'm Adam.
I'm Gwen.
I'm Jack. And the question we'll be discussing today is, who is more responsible for the imbalance in power between Mr. Norton and Invisible Man? Which one of them is more responsible for perpetuating the unfair dynamic between them?
Yeah, and the reason we bring up this question is on page 95 of Invisible Man, where I am and Mr. Norton have been taken up to the upper room with the Doctor of the Golden Day, and he says, "To you, he is a mark on the scorecard of your achievement, a thing and not a man, a child, or even less, a black amorphous thing, and you, for all your powers, are not a man to him, but a god, a force." And I think that's what really brings up the question that we're talking about, is the imbalance of power between I am and Norton, and this is really comparing them to, like, their situations currently of, like, the oppression that we're in, of, like, that you brought up with the question.
Yes. That's, yeah, like you said, that is kind of why we thought about this, because the Doctor equally charges both of them with responsibility for this, after he says that the Invisible Man is nothing but a mark on his scorecard. He goes on to address Invisible Man and say that he believes in great false wisdom taught slaves and pragmatics alike that white is right. Before that, he says he believes in you as he believes in the beat of his heart, saying that I am is faithful to a fault, that he believes in him like he's a force in nature, believes in Mr. Norton, and will do anything he tells him to. It says he'll do your bidding. And for that, his blindness is his chief asset.
Yeah, and as we talked about in the last podcast with his dignity being sacrificed, to what extent, I feel like at this point he's just been sucking up to the white people that are above him just to advance himself farther. And I also believe that we're at the point where we were talking about the blindfold last time too, where he's, this is like an interesting point, because I feel like we're going to start to slowly see that blindfold come off again, like in certain parts, as he's going to, or what I can infer is that he's going to start to, like, take that blindfold off to understand what he's truly doing, and, like, his inner conflict and inner emotions, what he's feeling.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because, like, this is kind of the thematic discussion we've been having, like, with this novel the whole time, and it's just kind of articulated now by Ellison through this character, like, discussing, like, most of the time we've been attributing it to, like, white people causing the imbalance of power, but it's also in this case perpetuated by the Invisible Man, because, like, even in the beginning of chapter 2, when he's just driving Norton around, he's, like, very scared to make a wrong move, and he's, like, clinging to every word he says, and so that kind of dynamic is caused by both of them. But for Norton, it's more, like, unassuming, I guess. Like, he's not consciously trying to get the Invisible Man to, like, listen to him like that and consider him to be a god.
He just knows that's, like, what he is in, like,
society. Yeah, it's more of an assumption for him.
Yeah.
And the Invisible Man is honestly very oblivious in this chapter. He kind of is. He, like, the Doctor says, to some, you're the Great White Father, to others, the Lyncher of Souls. And the Invisible Man basically goes, Lyncher? What is he talking about? And he even says he's getting wilder than the men downstairs, who are currently having a riot and beating the crap out of each other. So I think he's oblivious to the point where he's, like, defending Norton even in his head. He's like, man, this guy's crazy. He's insulting Mr. Norton, who's, like, his hero at this point.
Yeah, you know, like, downstairs when he's, like, Supercargo is, like, literally getting stomped on.
Yeah, he's like,
screw Supercargo.
He's completely, like, ignoring it. Like, he's like, oh, yeah, this guy's ribs are outside of his body now.
I'm
like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, this is a guy who's, like, you're supposed to be advocating for, like, why are people, like, killing this person?
Yeah. It's also interesting that, like, Norton right away is, like, insulted. Like, he sees it as more of an accusation. Like, right away he's like, let's leave. Like, he wants the Invisible Man to leave. So he's, like, angry at this, like, insinuation, I guess, because he doesn't necessarily see it that way.
Yeah, I think it's almost on the line of admission to guilt, because after he says to Mr. Norton that the IM views him as a god. It says, Mr. Norton stood abruptly, and he says, let us go, young man. And he's like, obviously, I agree that he's subconsciously doing this and making the IM into, like, someone who will do his bidding. But he also has some idea that it's happening because he's like, all right, we got to go. Like, yeah. He's starting to get to the bottom of it.
That's what I was saying. Like he's slowly starting to, like, our theme that we're talking about, like, the blindfold getting slowly taken off.
Yeah,
of him. And exactly. It's not, I feel like it's in, like, short bursts where he's, like, peeking out. He's like, oh, yeah, this is not good. We got to leave.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? And I think, like, the more we've seen, like, from the prologue to chapter 3, I think, like, he had the blindfold completely on for the entirety of chapter 1 with the speech and the battle royale.
Right.
But, and in chapter 2, he kind of had a quick peek with the, of wondering, like, or of, not really a peek, he kind of, like, had it shut for chapter 2, too. Mm-hmm. And when he, True Blood was given the 100 hours, and he's like, oh, why did I not get 100 hours? And this guy just told the story. And I think that's him, like, slowly, like, ramping it up to, like, this glimpse where he's like, oh, what am I doing for a second? And,
right.
But then immediately, so we can, like, see that he's, I think this is going to be a trend throughout the book that we were talking about, that he's going to slowly be removing this blindfold and understanding, like, what the hell am I doing, you know?
Yeah.
I think that now, as we have began to dissect the book, like, even in class discussions, I feel like I even had a blindfold on at some point. Because at first, like, I never really saw Mr. Norton as some, like, disgusting man. I was just like, okay, this is just some white man that IM looks up to. He's got some power, okay. But, like, as we discussed, like, the previous chapter, like, the whole True Blood situation, that completely changed the way I saw Norton. I was very oblivious to that. So now I kind of feel like I am, because he's still at the part where he's looking up to Norton. I mean, that's his god. But I feel like the way that me and I am are different is that I wouldn't, like, betray my own people. Like, at the end of 95, like, Miss Norton's like, all right, let's get out of here. They're insane. Like, I am just says, yes, sir, and, like, agrees. But, like, in the end, he should side with them. But he's forced to please Mr. Norton. She's like, yeah, let's get out of here. And he's, like, trying to, I guess, save him from this situation. Because he knows it's bad, and eventually it does prove bad. But I'll stop foreshadowing.
Yeah, I also, I still just think it's really interesting that he considers the doctor to be, so there's a riot downstairs in which they're beating Supercargo to death. And the IM still considers the doctor to be the crazier one.
Yeah.
Just because he's saying...
That really bothers me.
You're very subservient.
He's calling him out, you know.
He's calling him out, and he's like, man, you are crazy. You're, you know.
You're crazy.
He's like, it's the only person that's given him the straight truth so far.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the line is kind of interesting, too. Like, when Norton says, like, hurry, this man isn't as insane as the rest. And then the Invisible Man says, yes, sir, noticing a new note in his voice. So it's almost like he... Like, Norton didn't realize it either.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he, I don't know, like, Norton does think that the man is insane. Like, to him, those claims are so much more ridiculous, like you were saying, than the fight that's going on downstairs. And it's more threatening to him, I think, than, like, physical violence is this, like, accusation. Because, like, if Invisible Man is realizing this, I think for Norton, that's, like, more of a threat.
Yeah, I mean, this man passed out. And then they give him a bunch of whiskey, passes out again, gets beat up. But the turning point for him where he's like, all right, now we got
to
go.
Is when he talks to the doctor.
Is when he's like, you know, like, you're a servant, right? And he's like, we got to get out of here now. Like, that's the turning point. I also, I'm just curious if we're going to meet a white person in this story that is not like Norton is. Or like the rest of them are so far, you know.
The one.
How's Norton?
Hmm?
What do you mean, how's Norton?
Like, I wonder if we will meet a white person that doesn't have the blindfold.
Yeah.
That knows their privilege and is not exploiting it. Knowing they are not. Like,
they have respect for...
Yeah, like, and they, you know, wouldn't get angry if they heard this speech from the doctor. They'd be like, yeah.
I think potentially, like, later on that might happen. Because, like, right now Invisible Man is, like, pretty responsible for this relationship because of how he's, like, wanting Mr. Norton to help him and, like, just listening to everything he's saying. But, like, later on, as he realizes this dynamic, like, if he's more aware of it, then that might, like, make way for more, like, I guess more white characters with less of a, like, drastic power imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're both at fault because like, Norton, as, like, he said before in the car ride, he said that Ian, like, is his destiny. And I think they both kind of idolize each other in a way, because when Norton helps Ian, he feels good about himself. Or, like, when he helps True Blood, like, it gives him that sense of power, whether or not he wants to admit it. And Ian's just like, all hail Norton, like a white man with power. Ah, yes. So I think that what's even more upsetting is just that they just go in circles with this and just support each other in this imbalance.
Yeah, and it does say earlier that Norton is a the way that they described him was interesting. They say he's a carrier of the white man's burden, and you definitely get that. The white man's burden was not something that people were like using as a disguise. Well, it was, but a lot of the times it was ingrained in them. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. Norton is not like,
they're programmed to,
I'm going to make this college to control the population. But, you know, he really does view it as his destiny to, like, quote unquote, enlighten black people. And it's obviously very condescending. So I do agree that they're both at fault for it. But I would argue that a lot of it is Norton. I think Norton might be the most at fault because he comes from a system that perpetuates this rather than the I am just, you know, subconsciously being told this place.
Well, I think, like, you can make an argument for, like, it being subconsciously for either of them.
Yeah.
Because, like Gwen was saying, like, Norton
way
has just
life.
Been told to act that way above the African-Americans. But also, like, I think I am also has control over himself. He doesn't have to constantly suck up to this higher-up white man. He has control of his own emotions, control of himself. He's lost. Like I said, he's sacrificing his dignity, not knowing the damage he's doing. I just think he's blind. Like, he has the choice to, change himself.
The only
thing
I would say might not be true about that is that he doesn't have to suck up, but I feel like the way that he views it, he has to in order to be successful, in order to live a fulfilling life.
Oh, like they said in chapter one, like, you better get in your place.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Like, for him, it's a little bit more survival, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Norton is successful already, you know.
Yeah,
he could stop now and still be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Norton is, like, more responsible because he's in more power to change the situation. Like you were saying, like, he doesn't need to have this power over the Invisible Man. Like, he thinks he does, I guess, to keep society, like, working in his favor, but for the Invisible Man, like, having this dynamic just makes it so that he can, like, go to this college and be more successful. So, like, Norton could do something about it. Like, he could still have the Invisible Man have opportunities. And I guess not him specifically, but, like, white people in power in general.
Yeah, that's pretty much
then thinking ahead, how do we ever break this? Like, how... It's kind of us kind of predicting, but how would this dynamic ever end then?
I think it would have to be by choice on both of the parties, if that makes sense.
And it's circumstance, too. I mean,
yes.
Like, a lot of what Norton does is just bound, like, and I am really, it's just bound by the times they live in, like, in the social ideals that were at that time of, like, you know, post-Civil War South. I mean,
but are we any different now?
Yeah.
People still have power over us now, regardless of race. Is it any different is it any different contemporary?
Racially or otherwise?
I mean, even if you take away race, there's still going to be some power over you, but it's like, how do you even break out of that? Because we're always going to be controlled if you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, we even talked about in class, like, Mr. Chisnell goes, I'm sure you've never sucked up on a college essay before. Obviously, if it would be the difference between getting into our dream school and not, we would all do that. And I think that's kind of the thing that Gwen was touching on, where it's more of the fault of the person in power, because for the person appealing, it's just, you know, trying to get something you want, trying to survive and lead a successful life rather than keeping people down, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Maybe besides I am and Norton, maybe it's neither of their faults. Maybe there's just always going to be a dynamic. Maybe it's, in this particular situation, it's the fault because it's racial inequality. But in the end, I mean, we're all white suburban kids. There's still people that have power over us. Mr. Giramini has power over us. Mr. Chisnell has power over us. Mr. Chisnell could say, no, you're not making a podcast. That's power over. Like, it's simple. But I think, particular more to the book, it's, I mean, there's race, but it's also a little deeper than that. And it was a different time. But still, maybe it's neither their faults, if you think more contemporary.
I think having, like, power over someone is just kind of, like, a human dynamic. Mm-hmm. Like, in this case, like, it's more negative because it's racially charged, but, like, in the case of, like, Mr. Chisnell and Mr. Giramini having power over us, like, Mr. Chisnell has power over us because he's, like, the teacher, which sounds kind of, like, silly to say, but that's pretty different from, like, having racial power over someone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that might be one of the reasons that Norton thinks he's in the right is, like, for a school setting, that makes total sense, and I could definitely see someone like Norton justifying it with that, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like we said, we agreed it's different when it's racial, but Norton might say, no, it's not. Like, this is just human nature. And a lot of people justified the racism of the age with that.
Yeah.
You know, by saying white people are naturally superior by God and by nature itself.
Yeah. Well, if you take school, like, we're taught to respect our teachers and people and, like, our adults, mm-hmm. you know, as kids. Oh, respect adults. Respect your elders. That's just something we're taught. So then here, obviously, in this situation, what is this, 1940s, that around that era? Yay, nay?
I think it's
the 50s.
Okay, 40s, 50s, right around then. It's just they're taught that, you know, you can treat people like this, and it's completely fine, at least particularly in the South, especially. They're just like, all right, we're going to deal with this. And then I wonder, at what point historically does that change? I mean, civil rights era? But how far we even came from then.
Exactly. I do think that what we've been discussing here is that there could be both of them, one of them, or, like, neither of them. Mm-hmm. And I think that it brings up an interesting point for, like, the interpretation we were talking about who is really at fault, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think ultimately it's both of them, but Norton more so, it seems like, is the consensus we came to.
Yeah, I agree. I think, like we said before, IM is just kind of doing what will get him what he wants in life.
He is also being, like, rather selfish and blind at this
point. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Like, as we talked, like, he controls his own self.
Yeah, he's contributing. Yeah.
Also, a part that really struck me is when True Blood is, like, trying to figure out what's happening. They're both talking to him. I know this is out of the chapter, but it kind of relates. They're both talking to True Blood, and True Blood puts his hand on the IM shoulder to be like, what's this guy doing here? And IM brushes it off, and he's like, I don't know. Like, don't touch me. And that's why I think it partially IM, because he's isolating himself, you know, and he's trying so hard to be respected by these people.
He's unaware of, like, what we said before in the Dignity one. He's unaware of what he's truly doing.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, I don't really think we have much more to say. I think we've reached a pretty good consensus.
Yeah. I don't know if I came to a complete answer, but I would say I still enjoyed the conversation. I hope our listeners do. Hopefully we can get a following, maybe some groupies. Meet us on Wednesdays or Fridays during 6 hours. So
Thank you for listening to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks. Bye.